This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Had in the Torah, the parsha, the Makkah of Choshech. Choshech was a time when 4/5 of Klal Yisrael were killed, were taken away. Like it says in the beginning of Parshas Beshalach, the Chamushim Olu Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Chamushim Echad Michamisha. One of five left, 4/5 remained behind. It's a big number. It's a lot of people. 4/5 of Klal Yisrael. Why did they die in Makas Cheshech? So Rashi quotes from Chazal. The Rishoyim who did not want to leave, they died in Makas Cheshech. Why were they Rishoyim? What makes someone a Rasha? If you look in Shulchan Aruch and the Halacha, it's not that simple to be deemed, to be coined a Rasha. You know, today we use the word very freely. Ah, he's a Rasha. Not true, Rabbi Yisrael. Yidna not Rishoyim. You have to do specific Averis with specific intent from the stricter of the Averis to become a Rasha. Just because your neighbor chepes you or bothers you, he doesn't become a Rasha. Even though we like to use it freely, Rasha, Rasha. Nay, snitaza, it's not so, Rabbi Yisai. As a matter of fact, we know in Halacha, it's not even permitted to call someone a Rasha who isn't a Rasha. You're not allowed to say it even. So what were these people in Mitzrayim that died during Choshech, Rishayim? What made them Rishayim? What? Don't say. Rishayim that did not want to leave. What made them Rishayim? So I searched a little in Chazal, the Midrashim, to find where the Chazal already lead us to an understanding, a little bit of an understanding. Why are they Rishayim? What made them Rishayim? And I found a Medrash in Bamidbar, Tezvav, Ois Yud Gimel, if I'm not mistaken, that they were Rishayim Shemoasu B'Toyra Uvemila. These were Rishayim who were Moyes. They decided that they don't want to. They have no feelings. They're disgusted. Moasu. B'toyra uvemila. Toyra? Where was the Toyra in Mitzrayim?
80% didn't want the Mila?
I don't know. That's a good question. Let's understand what Chazal is saying here.
The people
don't get
Mila, maybe.
Moasu. B'toyra uvemila. Where was the Toyra in Mitzrayim? So I was thinking to myself, since Mitzrayim leaving, the leaving of Mitzrayim was conditioned to Avdunis Alekim Alahar Azed, that you will get the Torah. So Rashi understood that they're not wanting to leave, and that's why Rashi says, Shleiratzu Latzeis, means that they were Moasu Batayra. You're told that you'll get the Torah, and you don't want to leave, but you're going to get the Torah. That's a sign that you're not interested. Imagine if we come and say, like the Rambam says, Keser Torah is muneches l'chol mi sheyirtzeh, anybody who wants to come and pick it up and get it. It's free. There's no charge. There's no lines waiting for it. Anybody who wants can come and pick it up. Someone who doesn't come and pick it up, what does that tell me? She's obviously not really interested in it. Right? Because when it comes to things, which it is difficult to receive, people wait online for it. People go through difficulty to get it. So Torah, which is Muneches B'Keren Zavis, maybe someone who doesn't come to pick it up, Someone who decides Sunday morning, instead of coming to the shir, he'll go here, there, there. Maybe that's a sign that they don't care so much about the time. Maybe. Chas v'shalom. I have two questions. You can't compare someone who doesn't come to a shir because it's available to someone who didn't want to leave Mitzrayim. The pasuk clearly says, Zacharti lo chesed neorayich, ahavas kluloisayich, lechtechachem bamidbar be'aretz lo izaruach. So you see clearly that it was a chesed to go. It wasn't so simple to ask Jews to go into the midbar to leave Mitzrayim. Don't make it that if a person who didn't want to go to leave Mitzrayim to get the Torah is a rasha. Rasha. That means masu. That means they didn't care about the Torah. No, they cared about the Torah. But they maybe had other issues. It's not so simple to leave. And you see that the Eibush himself, the Rabbeinu Shleilim himself, looks at it as a chesed of Klal Yisrael to leave. You hear the question? So what's masu? What does it mean, masu? This means that you were mois. You know what the word mois means?
Nimaslem.
Zenikha nimaslem teira. What's masu? Masu b'teira. What does it mean? And if it also means that they didn't want to leave, and that's why Rashi explains they didn't want to leave, right? We're showing that they didn't want to leave, and we're explaining because the Torah was going to be given to you. Why don't you want to leave? How about the Mila part? That's also because they didn't want to. No, that has nothing to do with wanting to leave. As a matter of fact, in the Midbar, they didn't do Mila. The other way around, in Mitzrayim, they did Mila. So this Rashi can't be coming from this Chazal that they were Mois in Torah and in Mila, because clearly Rashi says they didn't want to leave. Leaving has nothing to do with the Mila. Maybe it has to do with the Torah, maybe, which is still difficult to understand. But it definitely has nothing to do with the Mila. So how are we to read the Rashi? When Rashi says that they were Rishoyim, Shalei Ratzu Latzeis, what does it mean, a Rasha that doesn't want to leave? Why are they Rishoyim? What makes someone who doesn't want to leave a Rasha? And so we could ask another question, halachically, if someone doesn't want to leave, he's chayiv misa? He has to die because of that? A person who does avodah zarah, he has to die. A person who does gilui arayos, Shabbos, but a person who didn't want to leave Mitzrayim, which one of the tayag mitzvahs is it that you makes it say that you chayiv misa for it? Where is it? And the Mefarshim asked us for a question. Why were they chayiv? Good, it's a bad thing to not want to leave Mitzrayim. Granted. But that the punishment should be death. Where does it say in the Torah that this is the punishment for this? So I searched more and I found an interesting Rosh. The Rosh on the Torah, the Pirush on the Rosh, has a question. Why did Dos of Aviram not die? They were Rishayim. How did they survive it? So the Rosh answers that those that died were not Rishayim for Averis, but they were those that were Nisyayishu min HaGa'ula, which means that they felt hopeless. No, there's no Ga'ula. It's never going to come to redemption. Nisyayishu, they had Yush. So it's not that they did Averis. We were looking to see what Avera did they do that made them Rishayim. The Rosh is Mashma, it can't be that it was Averis. Because if it was Averis, then why did Dasam Avira make it? Why did they survive? And the answer has nothing to do with Averis. It has to do with not wanting to leave, like Rashi says, right? Nisyayishu. They felt that they had the whole, they lost hope in the Geula. So the first question is on this, is that really what Rashi says? They don't want to leave. It's not exactly the same thing as losing hope. Nitesh is one thing, and Leirotzulatzeis is really something else. They just didn't want to leave. Second of all, and let's say they were Nisya'esh min HaGa'ula. What do you want from them? What do you expect from them? You know what it is to grow up enslavement in Mitzrayim. I mean, it's what do you expect from people that lose hope? There was a reason why they lost hope.
Could they have been on the 50th level instead of 49th?
I'm saying, and so what do you want from them? Yeah. What do you want from people? I mean, what do you expect? You know, there's a rule called Tinik Shenishba, which means a little child that was Nishba, which means he's captive. We say that people who don't know about Torah and Mitzvahs have a halach of Tinik Shenishba, the child that is captive, so he doesn't know better. So we can't hold him responsible. The Chazon Ish goes as far as to say that this is even true in our times because we don't have mochichim. We don't have anyone who can give proper mussar to guide the people properly. So people who do averis, we got to judge them favorably. That's for sure so. To the people of Mitzrayim who were nishba, they were actually Tinoik Shenishba. They were actually the Tinoik Shenishba. That's the story. They were Tinoik's children that were captive among the Goyim since childhood. So of course they're Pater. Of course they have to be dealt with and say that they're not responsible. So how could we take four-fifths of Klal Yisrael? How could we take four-fifths of Klal Yisrael and kill them? And say, you know what, you're a shayim. You know what? What do you want from them? What do you expect from them? What do you expect from people? Tinaik Shanishba. They're Tinaik Shanishba. So I was thinking to myself, you know, Tinaik Shanishba is not after you see so many makas. Mm-hmm. A person who sees so many makas, so much. You can't be called a Tinik Shanishba. After you saw Hashem, you know, Makas Bechairis, you saw an evil like Malach, the Abish himself. The Abish himself came down to do Makas Bechairis. So if they saw, the Abish himself, we can't come and say, you know what, it's not your fault. Of course it's your. It's people who see nothing, I hear. But people saw Mitzrayim and all the miracles and the wonders. The hand of Hashem they saw clearly. Even Pari recognized that it was the hand of Hashem. So the Jews for sure can't come and say Tinek Shenishba. You know what the problem with this answer is? Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, says that the Bnei Yisrael are Tinek Shenishba. The Medrash says that Samuel, the Tsar, the Satan, came down to Mitzrayim, and he started to be Mekatrig. It's a Yalkut Shemini in this week's parish. He came down to be Mekatrig. Halalu Oivda Avodah Zarah. They do Avodah Zarah. So not only that, Samuel said he went to the Yamsuf, and he poisoned the Yamsuf against the Bnei Yisrael. We all know that the Yamsuf didn't want to split when the Bnei Yisrael came. Why? Because the Yamsuf claimed they do have Avodah Zarah. Who gave the Yamsuf this idea? Who poisoned the Yamsuf again? Samuel. The Medrash says Samuel came down and started to be Mekatrik. Hallo, Avodah Zarah. So the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Samuel over and says, Shaitata, you're an idiot. You're telling me that the Bnei Yisrael do Avodah Zarah? Are you being Dan Shoigi Kemezid? Oynes Kerotzoin? It's not their fault. They're Shoigi, they're Oynes. Tiruf Adas, Bilbul Adas. What do you expect from them? So you see clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already paskined that the Bnei Yisrael have a din of what? Of Tinik Shenishba, if not their fault. You see clearly that Hashem himself says that they're Tinik Shenishba. So how could they die in Makas Chayshah because they were ashamed? It doesn't make sense. Something doesn't fit here. When Samuel says that they're Alalayv Devayda Zara, the Rabbi Yisrael says they're Tinik Shenishba. So what happened? How come they died? How come they died? And even more so, if they died during Makas Choshech, so how could it be that they came to Yamsuf And by the Yamsuf, halal loiv davoy dezara. Yeah, but I thought they died during Chayshah. So like the Rosh, it's good. Because according to the Rosh, those that did avoy dezara didn't die. It's only those that didn't want to leave. It's only those that... But the avoy dezara remained alive. Thus of Avira made it out. So according to the Rosh, it's not a question how come the Yamsuf said that oiv davoy dezara if at truthfully they died during Chayshah. That's not a question. Right? Why? Because according to the Rosh, those that did the Averis didn't die. Who died during Chayshah? Only those that were in Tiyash Men Agula. So according to the Rosh, that's not a question. But the first question is a question according to everybody. How could it be that it says that they were Rishayim, the Tiyash Men Agula, Tinek Shenishba, what do you want from them? Tiruf Hadas, Bilbul Hadas, look at the suffering they suffered in Mitzrayim. So why are they called Rishayim? To the point that they have to die in Makas Chayshich. This is a question that bothered me for many, many, many years. The Sefer Yitziv Pizkam is a Sefer from the Kloizim Megarebi, Zechat Tzadik Levracha. It's his speeches, his drashas. He addresses this question, Tinik Shenishba, and he brings this medrash, and he says that according to Halacha, they didn't have a din of Tinik Shenishba. Why? Tinik Shenishba is only where you don't have a choice. You don't know because you don't know. But where you're given the choice to get out of the situation and to know, you can't come and say Tinik Shenishba. He brings a Rambam, where the Rambam says that if a person is under a difficult regime from a government, and he does Averis, it's not his fault, Tinek Shenishba, he's captured. But if he has a way out, if he was able to run away from that oppressive situation, and he doesn't, then we don't give him the excuse of Tinek Shenishba. He has a way out. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchas Deis, Yisaydi Ataira, Perikei Allah Dalet. He says that's what Rashi means already. They were Rishayim, but they were Tinik Shenishba. But Leiratzulat says they didn't want to leave. So you had a chance to leave and not be a Tinik Shenishba. We're giving you an opportunity to realize the truth and learn, and not be a Tinik Shenishba. So why don't you take the opportunity? Now you're not a Tinik Shenishba anymore. Because Lairatsu Latzeis, because he don't want to leave. What do you mean? You can't sit in the situation and say, I'm excused. Can a person sit in the difficult situation and say, I'm excused? No. So that's what Rashi, he's taking the halacha and saying, that's exactly what Rashi means. Not only it's not a question, but that's even the interpretation of Rashi. That Rashi says, Lairatsu Latzeis. The point being, so you're not an oinus anymore. You can't excuse yourself. I didn't know. I had no choice. It's not my fault. We're giving you a chance. We're giving you a choice. We're giving you an opportunity to leave. We're giving you a chance to learn. We're giving you a chance not to be an oinus. And you don't take it? Now you can't excuse yourself, oinus. So says the Kloizim Garebi, Zecher Tzadik Levrach. It's an interesting interpretation of the Rashi. I would like to offer another interpretation based on Torah that my grandfather said in this Rashi. My grandfather explained something very interesting. He says that could be the Rishayim that died was because they didn't want to leave knowing that a big part of Klal Yisrael must leave because they're suffering. When someone doesn't leave because he can survive it, but most couldn't survive it. For most of the people, this was treacherous to be in Mitzrayim. And the truth is, Rabbi Yisai, it's an open medrash. The medrash asks, who are the people that died during Chayshich? So the medrash says that the Rabbeinu Shloim looked into the hearts of everyone, Chayker Leiv, and he realized that there were the certain groups of people who had jobs in Mitzrayim, to the kingdom, and who had Oishir v'Kovid. They had money and they had honor. There were those that were influentially rich. There was the higher class of Jews who had a comfort in Mitzrayim at the end. So Rabbi Yishalem says, you don't want to leave because of that? I'm going to kill you. My grandfather explains, he doesn't bring the Medrash, but he says this pshat, and I found that that's probably what the Medrash means. And you don't understand that for you it's good, but for your friend it's no good. Look at the poverty, look at the suffering of your neighbors, which means you don't care, then you're not Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael doesn't have a situation where I live comfortably, I don't care about the outside, my friends, my neighbors, that they're suffering in poverty. They're suffering in tzaras. I'm comfortable. I'm okay. You're not Klal Yisrael. That's not Klal Yisrael. And if you're not Klal Yisrael, then stay in Mitzrayim. Then be like the Mitzrayim.
And that made them the Rasha.
That made them the Rasha. So interprets my grandfather the Pshat and the Rashi. The Rasha is the person who could see his neighbor suffer under the oak of poverty and social suffering or whatnot. And you feel, all right, I'm okay, I'm comfortable, I'm okay over here. To the point that you don't feel the need to leave Mitzrayim. That's called a Rosh Hashloi Rotz Alotzeis. That means you're not really part of Klal Yisrael. What is Klal Yisrael? What does it mean to leave Mitzrayim? You know, it's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't work in Mitzrayim. He didn't work in Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu used to come and go and, right? Moshe's children, did they work? No. Do you know that when Moshe Rabbeinu wants to bring his children to Mitzrayim, it's either Aaron or Yisrael. So Shaul the Medrash, who told him the following, don't take them. Al Rishenim Anu Mitzdarim, we are already suffering, meaning we are already in trouble of the people that are there. You want to add more people to the Shibud, more people to the problem? Don't bring your children there. And he listens. He doesn't bring his children there. I have a question. They wouldn't have worked anyway. What's the difference? They had immunity. What do you call that? Diplomatic immunity. The kids also. Like when they come here for the UN, they can do whatever they want. Come and go and bring their children and their families. Right? So the question is, if anyway, they wouldn't work. So what does it mean? You're adding. And the answer is because of Yid. Even if he's not working. But just to be there and see that the other person is working. That's called Shibud, Rabbi Yisrael. We all know that we have three matzahs the night of Pesach. We break the middle matzah, Levi. Why do we break the middle matzah, Levi? Right, the top matzah is Kohen, the middle matzah is Levi, the third matzah is Yisrael, and the answer is Levi, Shibud, Ima Anoichi, you're also part of the Shibud. We crack you, but he wasn't working. Yeah, he was working. To sit in Mitzrayim and see what he saw was just as if he would have worked. It's the same thing. Not paying attention to this, Rabbi Yisai, you know what that means? Not paying attention to this means, Rabbi Yisai, that you don't see, you live in the dark. You know, one of the parts of the Makas Choshech was, Le'ra'u ish es achiv, ve'le'kamu ish mitachtav. They didn't see each other. Ish es achiv. Now why does the Pasuk use such a language? They didn't see ish es achiv. Just say they were blind. Just say blind. What do you have to say? Le'ra'u. They didn't see ish es achiv. Each man his brother. I mean, if someone is blind, can you imagine if someone turns blind, we tell them, oh, now you can't see your brother. you can't see anything. What does that have to do with Leroish Yisachiv? What does that have to do with seeing the brother? Why the Lashon Leroish Yisachiv? I'd like to answer this with something that my Zayda explained in the Makkah's Choshech according to his Pshat. He says that every Makkah was a double lesson. It was a double Shmusicha, double Sichas Musar. One was to the Mitzrayim, that they should learn a lesson, and one was for Klal Yisrael to learn. It was to teach two lessons, one to the Mitzrayim and one to us. Our lesson was Leiro Ish Yisachiv, those that died during Makkah's Choshech, why did they die? Because Leiro Ish Yisachiv, they didn't see the brother. They didn't see the suffering. They didn't see the suffering of their neighbor. They didn't see their suffering of their brother. So the Torah teaches this lesson through the Makkah of Leiro Ish Yisachiv. Understand where the Yid had to take a lesson. And that was the lesson that was needed in Makkah's Choshech, because that's real darkness. Possibly Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was born in such a way that his whole mahus, his whole entity, his whole mitzius was to care about his brother. That's why it says, Vayar, Vayetze Elecha, Vayar B'siv Loisam. He went out. And where did he go out from? From the comfort. He had tremendous comfort, Moshe Rabbeinu.
Prince.
He was okay financially, as they say. Yet he left it all behind to go out to see his brother. That's Ur. Moshe Rabbeinu was born with a lot of light, it says. Lots of light. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mashiach of Yisrael to care about Ish Yisachiv. And the opposite with these people who were comfort, and they didn't want to give it up because of Klal Yisrael. That's Choshech. The difference between Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe is about light. What's the light? To see properly. You know, a person could see, but still live in the dark, as they say. And a person could be blind and still see light. You know, when we talk about a blind person, what do we talk about him? Sagi Nohar. A lot of light. Sagi. Sagi means a lot. Why? Because it's an expression of... Sagi Nohar means we say the opposite. We don't want to say it. We don't say the exactly blind. We say the opposite. The truth is, could be we're trying to say an unbelievable thing. Sight. Maybe physically you don't have, but you can still be Sagi Nohar with a lot of light. Tanoim sometimes, Sadiqim sometimes are blind. But their blindness is a physical blindness. But the light, Sagi is a lot. Sagi is a lot of light. It's not a contradiction. You hear Rabbi say that a person can lose physical eyesight, yet not lose his real eyesight. Klal Yisrael is saying, you know, you could be seeing. The Mitzri lost his eyesight. How did he lose his eyesight? Because it was dark. Yeah. Which was a whole question, many more to discuss, that maybe Choshech means literally blindness. Why wasn't it regular blindness? The Mari B'Chaviv, Taka learns that they became physically blind. That's what happened. The Chasam Sofer addresses this Mari B'Chaviv. And the Chasam Sofer says it can't mean literally blind. Because it says, Choshech Afeila. Dark Afeila, thick. So it means that there was a thickness to the darkness. You take a look at the Torah Tmima, it's famous. The Torah Tmima says it was a physical because it was a cataract. He learns it was the cataract. And everybody yells, why does he say such a pshat? The truth is he wasn't the first one to say it. You see, for the Chasam Sofer, the Mari B'Chaviv, others said it before him, that it was actual blindness. Lamais Chasam Sofer says, no, he doesn't like the pshat. It wasn't that. It was darkness from the outside. Why Taka? So what's Taka pshat? Why did the Eibishter not make them physically blind? What do you have to make a nest and make dark? Make them blind. We have by Yisdoim. Isn't that what happened by Yisdoim? They all turned blind. So turn them all blind. They're finished. So the Chasam Sofer answers that the reason why they turned blind, they didn't turn blind, because when you turn blind, scientifically, all the other chushim, all the other senses become stronger. So the Rebbein Shem wanted a makkah, a real makkah. Darkness, that they lost all their senses. They couldn't move, they couldn't hear, they couldn't do anything. If they would turn blind, the other chushim would get stronger. I would like to give a different answer. This is the Halig of Sam Sofer's Teretz. I would say different Teretz. I would say like this. The Torah was trying to teach them what is blindness. Sometimes it's a physical blindness of the eye, and sometimes it's the matzav you live in. It's darkness, and therefore you can't see. Chayshich is not about blindness of the eye. It's about black, dark, from the life that you're in. Where around you is chayshich. And therefore you don't see the person around you, l'roi shesachiv, v'loi kamu shmitachtav. A person could be blind two things. Physical, and then a person could be spiritually blind. A person could live in darkness. His eyes are working, yeah, but what's around him is all darkness. It's all empty. It's all chayshich afeila. Chaybachayshich. That's what the lesson of Makas Chayshich was, and both to the Mitzri and to the Jew who didn't want to leave Mitzrayim. At the Chaybachayshich, you're living in darkness. My eyes are working. Of course your eyes are working. That's why you're happy with your house. And that's why you're happy with your job. And that's why you're happy with your money. Very happy. Thrilled with your money. You're thrilled. Yeah, but you're living in darkness. What do you mean? I see perfect. $100, $200, $1,000, $10,000. I see perfect. That's not called seeing. That's called living in darkness, that you see nothing. Like, ro'ish esachiv. You don't see what's around you. You see nothing. You're living in chayshich. You're living in darkness. This is the chilek between oir and chayshich, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu lives oir. So he gives up his life of comfort to go out and see and help Klal Yisrael. Those at the end who didn't want to leave because of comfort, they're living in chayshich. They're living in darkness. And so they were not fit to be part of Klal Yisrael to leave. What is Klal Yisrael? You know, when we left Mitzrayim, we had a mitzvah called Karban Pesach. One of the tenets, the nekudas of Karban Pesach was Kol Adas Yisrael Yasu Oisai. That the entire Klal Yisrael had to do the Karban Pesach. And the Gemara in Pesachim discusses, could it possibly be that all of Klal Yisrael brings one Karban Pesach? And the Gemara says, yes. Yes. How could it be? And the answer is Shlichus. That one Jew could do for another, it's as if he did it. Interesting. That's where we learn Shlichus here by Karban Pesach. You know what Shlichus means? That you do it as if I did it. Shluchus Shaladim Kemaisai. And this is before Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, there was Arvus. We came together. We accepted to be responsible one for the other. That's why it says, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. By Matan Torah, we came together. We said, I'm responsible for my neighbor. I'm responsible for my friend. Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. I take responsibility for my friend. And so, one person could do for another, because we took responsibility, says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh. But that was Matan Torah. Here we even before Matan Torah, we have a halacha called Shlichus. Why? And the answer is Kol Adas Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has to unite now in order to leave Mitzrayim. The Karban Pesach was unification of Klal Yisrael to the point that we have Chaburis. What's the union of Chaburis? Groups to come together. Different groups have to join together and make up in advance that they'll be part of one group. Families eat together. Why are we eating families? Mishpachas, neighbors. The Targum Yonasim in Uziel explains, and my grandfather brings this in the Sefer as well, that Misarvin Mishpacha b'Mishpacha, one of the things of Kol Adas Yisrael means that they had to become meshed together, different families, in order to create Kol Adas Yisrael. the shaychus, the connection, hey, you're there, I'm here. It couldn't work for Kol Adas Yisrael. In order to leave, they had to unite as Adas Yisrael, as an Eda, as one community, as one entity. And so, mishpachu, we put together. Normally, families, each family should eat alone. We think it's like today, we have a barbecue, we invite your family and my family, and together we have a Sunday barbecue. We don't find that so much in the Torah. In the Torah, everybody lives, eat with your family. The idea of family was a Karban Pesach concept, like the Targum explains, because we had to create a new thing called Kol Adas Yisrael, which was a precondition to leave. I want to tell you something interesting. Normally, there's something called Karban Ashutfim. Two partners come together for a carbon. In order for that to happen, you need that each one should have at least one shava pruta, one penny's worth, so to speak. For a better term, for lack of a better term, we'll use the word penny's worth. Shava pruta in the carbon, which means every person has to have an ownership in order to be the carbon of the shutvim, of the partners. Karban Pesach doesn't have that, because all of Klal Yisrael has one Karban Pesach. It's possible. That's what the pasuk says. Kol v'shachatu oisai one Kol Adas Yisrael. So it could be it works with shlichus. Yeah, but what do you do with the fact that everyone doesn't have one penny's worth? So how are you a balim on the carbon? The Chaim Ezer asks for a question in Achiezer. How are you the owner? You don't have a penny's worth of ownership there. And the answer, and I don't want to go into it in great detail because it's a lamdash shaila, it's a halacha question, but what's again to the musar of it? It's an interesting type of carbon Pesach, and that is that it's a carbon tzibur, yet a carbon yachid. Well, carbon tzibur, we know that you can have one carbon for all of Klal Yisrael because it's tzibur. But here it's a carbon yachid, it's each individual's carbon Pesach. So the question is, each individual doesn't own a penny's worth? There's a new chiddush here, that this was a carbon tzibur, a carbon yachid, which is like a carbon tzibur, because that was the concept of carbon Pesach. That Klal Yisrael should unite as one. So the new bailim, the owner, the yachid, becomes the tzibur as a whole. Each yachid, by being part of the whole, has created something called a carbon tzibur. Because carbon Pesach had to be creating a new entity called Kol Adas Yisrael. A guy doesn't have it. The guy don't have this idea, this theme of Kol Adas. It's a concept, a yesod. It's only something which is possible by Klal Yisrael, created through the carbon Pesach. That the yachid is the tzibur and the tzibur is the yachid, and together it creates a tzibur full of yechidim. Kol Adas Yisrael. You know, the pasuk says that when they did the Karban Pesach, each person with shcheinai hakarav elav. What does that mean? Shcheinai hakarav elav. His shachin that's close to him. Lafuke what? To exclude who? Shechina, his neighbor. So the Sipurna asked this for a question. And the Sipurna says, maybe it's a guy. Shechina might be a guy. His neighbor could be a guy. Well, you make a Karban Pesach with him? No, of course not, right? That's why the Pasuk stresses Shechina, a Karav Eil of the Jew. Because the guy is not Karav, he's not close to you. So Shechina, his neighbor, a Karav Eil. Chasam Sofer says something very interesting. You know, we think neighbors, we happen to bought at the same time, in the same place, through the real estate broker. Right? Why are we a neighbor? Because the real estate broker sold me. Him and it sold me, and therefore we're neighbors together. Says the Chasam Sofer, actually, the reason why we're neighbors, and the reason why friends are friends, because in Shemayim there's a kesher nafshi. there's a connection by the nefesh to the point that we have to do mitzvahs and Torah and learn Torah together. The reason why we join together as friends, chavrusas, neighbors, because we are connected above. You think of it, Knesset means randomly people show up in a shul. No. There's something from above that's uniting these people that they have to daven together. Shechenai HaKarov Eilof. Your Shachain is actually Karov. He's connected to you like a relative. And that's why you make the Karm Pesach with him. Brought down in the Briska books that the Netziv said the following to Reb Simcha Zelig Krieger, the Brisker Dayan, when he got married. He married the daughter of the Balmakri in the yeshiva in Valozhin. The one who calls out the Tkiyas is called the Balmakri. Tkiyah Shvarim, he calls out. So Reb Simcha Zelig Krieger, the Brisker Dayan, married the daughter of the Balmakri. And who was the Baltikeya? Reb Chaim Balozhin, I think he was the Baltikeya. So he told, says the Netziv to this Reb Simcha Zelig, you know what shidduch you're making? I want to tell you who your father-in-law is. Your father-in-law is the Balmakri, and you should know that when you come to Shemayim, you'll see the same scenario. Reb Chaim Balozhin blowing shofar. And the Balmakri, your father-in-law, standing there. Because when people do mitzvahs in this world together, in unification, above it's the same. It remains that way up on top too. He says, Kacha Mikublani, this is a Kabbalah that he received from his families, from his lineage, says the Netziv, that those that do mitzvahs together in this world, for example, a Beis Knesset, we will daven together above. Sunday mornings we will be sitting in Shemayim together in this year. Yes. That's something, huh? Point. That's this work of the Chasam Sofer. That it's not just random that we're here together doing a mitzvah, learning Torah together. There's a kesher, nafshi, a connection from above. Shechenai HaKaroiv Eilof. It's not just Shechenim. It's Shechenai. Obviously, that's Karev anyway to him. There's a connection from above, Kesher, the Kesher from the Nefashis, that we have to do mitzvahs together. And so, Karben Pesach was to bring out that Kesher. It was to bring El Hapoyel, Lamais, in this world, that Kesher that we're supposed to do mitzvahs together, we do it through the Karben Pesach. Why? Because the Karben Pesach was to unite Klal Yisrael in its original form. It was to unite Klal Yisrael in its Shavish. It was to unite Klal Yisrael in its Mekor. Not just externally, but completely, physically, and spiritually. And that's why physically they ate together, to spiritually be together. Shechenai with the neighbors, Hakarav Eilof. Here, Rabbi Yisrael, that's Am Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, and that's called Yitzias Mitzrayim. This was needed in order to leave Mitzrayim. In order to leave Mitzrayim, we needed to be Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael. And so the Karben Pesach was to achieve that. And it was set up in a way that it was meant to bring out this Kol. It meant to establish and to solidify the Kahal Adas Yisrael, united as one. United as one. And therefore families ate together, Chaburus ate together. It's interesting. The Pasuk tells us that Bnei Yisrael did as Moshe told them to do the Karben Pesach. Cain also, they also did. Says Rashi, who's they also? Moshe and Aaron. And Moshe and Aaron also did the Karben Pesach. And the Mefarshim ask, well, of course he did the Karm Pesach. It's a mitzvah. Why would they not do the Karm Pesach? Pasuk says clearly, Cain also says, Rashi, they also did. Why would I think they shouldn't do the Karm Pesach? So there's many different answers given to this question. One answer, Reb Chaim Kanevsky says, that Moshe and Aaron themselves did a Karm Pesach. They had a chabura of Moshe and Aaron. That's what it means. Cain also, Moshe and Aaron, they were two in the group. And what's the chiddush? The halacha is you don't take older people in the group. It's only older people. You know why? Because they can't eat that much. And so the carbon won't be finished eating. You won't be able to finish eating the Karm Pesach. Moshe and Aaron, even though they were old, they were able to do it, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Why? He says, because since they were strong, they were Nevi'im, it says clearly Moshe was Gibor, so he was able to eat up the whole Karm Pesach. That's Reb Chaim Kanievsky's job. Okay. Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in the Sefer, says a different pshat. He says that the Chiddush is not that they did it because they had to do it anyway, but the Chiddush is that that's how they taught it. The Pasuk says that they were mitzvah, they commanded the Bnei Yisrael. How did they do that? Cain also by doing it themselves. They taught by example. A lot of times a person gives a speech, he's not holding by it. So therefore, the person who hears it says, you got to show that you're also doing it. Cain also, they also did the same thing. So I never understood this. I mean, everything was that way. I mean, why only by Karm Pesach? By everything it should have said, Cain also, whatever Moshe told them, they did the same thing by example. And Ramesh Zatzal gives a whole lesson from here that a person should always be mashpia, and wherever he goes, his actions should be a source of lesson for others. And he says that that's pshat lilmoy the lamed. We ask Hashem every day we should learn and daven. Learn and teach. You teach, who teaches? I mean, most people don't teach. He says lamed means teaching through example to others. They should learn from you. That's how the Reshiva Ramesh Zatzal explains lilmoy the lamed. But why here? So I want to say a pshat like this, Rabbi. So if many Rishonim question, maybe the pshat is Moshe and Aaron, they didn't have to bring a Karm Pesach because they weren't in Sheba Mitzrayim. Maybe only those that were stuck in Mitzrayim have to bring a Karm Pesach. Those that weren't stuck in Mitzrayim, they don't bring a Karm Pesach, maybe. What is Karm Pesach? Karm Pesach is take the carbon, Avodah Zarah, and you're not a part of Avodah Zarah anymore, and you're going out. They were never part of Avodah Zarah. They were never part of the whole story. So then what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that he did it anyway. So why taka did they do it? Were they mitzvah? If they were mitzvah, so then again, what's the chiddush? I think the pshat's like this. You know, when a person lives through something. So when at the end, when he brings a carbon, it's a whole different experience. That's why the Pasuk says, Bechipazin, Nalechem Beraglechem. It wasn't only to do the carbon, it was how the carbon had to be eaten, as if you're waiting for the moment to get redeemed. But Moshe and Aaron didn't have that, because they could leave whenever they want. That's the pshat. Moshe and Aaron were able to leave whenever they wanted. So how do you expect them to eat the Karm Pesach? All this real pshat, Rabbi say. What is the way to eat the Karm Pesach? Standing with your feet and you're in a rush, holding your breath ready to leave. You're a free person. Yeah, but Moshe and Aaron didn't have that issue. And the answer is Cain also. They did the same thing as if they were a Mitzrayim ready to leave. And you know why? Because they felt the Shibud just as if they were there.
And they had to lead by example too.
But the leading by example was that they were able to do the same thing with Klal Yisrael, showing Klal Yisrael, you see, look at me, I'm not leaving. I left a long time. I could go and come whenever I want. I'm also part of the Shibud. Imay Anoichi, I'm part of it. If the Jewish people are in Shibud, that means me included. Even though I'm able to leave and I'm free technically, I don't have the whole issue. That is not called freedom. That's called Shibud. Yeah. That's the Chiddush of Kainos. You know, Rabbi, I want to tell you over two stories. My grandfather, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, when he came to America from Shanghai, right after the war, he got a position, a very, very good position here in America, to be a Rosh Hashiva, the head of a very famous, good, established yeshiva. Ahavas Torah in the Bronx. Rabbi Ruchan Gerelik, who I think was the Manal, Rabik was the Mashkiach. It was a fully established, really, you know, I'm saying it was a school with a parnosa, they paid, you know. My grandfather didn't keep it long. He gave it up after a short while. In one of the letters that he writes to Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, who was at the time still in Shanghai, they were corresponding about getting visas and helping the people to get out of Shanghai. My grandfather writes that he's giving up the yeshiva. Why? He can't swallow that he comes home at night and he's secure in his financial, he has comfort of a job, knowing that most of his brethren, the rest of Klal Yisrael, is suffering, still in the DP camps in Shanghai. Can't do it. Can't sleep at night. Can't do it. Can't do it. And therefore, he's giving up the position. He's going to put himself into Vat Hatzalah to try to get visas. To try to get visas to save, to help the rest of the people get out of the DP camps, to get out of Russia, to get out of of Europe. This Rabbi Sai is a person who could say a pshat like this. You see? Because he lived like that, he understood what it means, choshech, to not want to leave Mitzrayim based on your own comfort, when you know that the other person is suffering. I understood that my grandfather didn't just write it in the Sefer, but he was also what? Mekayim it by example. It's one thing to write it and talk about it and preach it to show that I'm part of the Shibud. But there's another thing, Kainosu, to actually live that way and do it Lamaisa. That takes even more, that's special. To preach lofty ideals about caring for the other person, it's good. I'm not saying it's not bad, but it still doesn't come close to Kainos. To be able to live that way, Lamaisa, to be able to give up the comfort of Pari's home to go out to help his neighbor, Bayar Basiv Loisam. And Moshe was able to do that, and therefore Kainos. By the Korban Pesach, they were able to bring the Korban Pesach as if they were in Mitzrayim, as if they were leaving as well. And this is what my grandfather, I felt very much with my grandfather. He wrote it in the Sefer that was the problem with the Rishayim and Makas Chayshish Loiratzu Latzeis. But I saw that he actually lived by what the words he preached, and that he really gave up a position for it. My grandmother told me that after that, it was difficult years. There was no money in the house after that, but he gave it up. I can't say I have comfort, I'm okay. I close my eyes and I don't see what's going on in the rest of Klal Yisrael. I want to tell you how I applied. I was thinking all week to myself, but maybe I'm also guilty of the same thing. I'll preach it. Am I giving up my job? Am I giving up my house for others? I'm not doing it. So maybe I'm also guilty of not practicing what I preach. Maybe don't preach it. Maybe it's too much of a lofty idea. Maybe it's way above everyone's head, including mine. What am I bringing out points that aren't so realistic to care so much. So I was thinking, you know, maybe something will come up where it's more realistic, something that we could not only apply, it could resonate with us, something that's really on our level. So the Rebbe Hashem sent me Friday an interesting story, an interesting thing. I sent two of my boys to Brooklyn from Lakewood to my brother-in-law for Shabbos. The Lakewood bus leaves at 10 to 1 from the Capitol Hotel. On its way to Brooklyn, I guess, B'kvitzas HaDerech, within an hour, okay? I come there pretty much on time. I wasn't late. There were so many people waiting for that bus. Yeah. My two children got the last two seats on the bus. They get on the bus. They got the seats. We get off. I get into the car. And then I look around and I realize there's about 20 people who didn't get on the bus. There's no room for them. So I started to think to myself, here's my opportunity to practice what I preach. You know what a normal person reacts and feels when my kids got on? Baruch Hashem, my kids got the seat. Yeah, but how about those that didn't get the seat? And I said to myself, you know what, I'm not leaving till I feel that everybody got a place on the bus. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I said, Rabbeinu Shloilam, I care, get everyone a place. I'm not going to leave till everyone has a place. You feel, I got, right? How do you feel? I got for myself, I got my kids, okay, that's it, right? Not my business is eating it on the bus, what's in my business, right? They brought another bus, the people got on the bus, okay. All of a sudden, someone comes down from the bus and tells my son Yitzchak, you should know that the two seats that your brothers are in are very dangerous seats. Not physically, but ruchni. Because the people who are sitting next to them are two boys, kids at risk. And they're not, no Yirat Shemayim, there's no Yirat Shemayim. It's bad influence. Bad influence. I would be very scared to have my children sitting next to these two boys. I know them, it's not a good idea. Whole trip, you never know what they could poison the two kids with ideas. I'm thinking to myself, there's no room on the buses. There's no way you can play games with the buses. So I started to panic a little bit. And I said, you know what? I know my kids. They're pretty good. I'll also ask this guy to do me a favor. So I called my son on the phone. And I said, give me that person who was telling me all this. And I say to him, listen, please, help me. Make sure they don't talk. You be their monitor. Make sure. He tells me these words. Don't worry. I'll do my part, my job. You go and do your job by saying Tehillim. Say Tehillim. Then I realized to myself, the Rebbe Yishon was sending me a beautiful message. And that is, you know, we're connected as one family. He cared about my children's ruchnius. He doesn't know who I am. He never heard of me. He doesn't know. He sent me a message through my son Yitzchak. I called him up. You know what he said to me? I'll do my job. How is that his job? What kind of expression? It's his job to take care of my kids. And the answer is, that's called Kol Adas Yisrael. And my job was to daven. The Rebbe Hashem showed me, you cared about someone else's children's. I'm going to have another you care about your children. Kol Adas Yisrael Yasuaz. This is the lesson. Just because you have comfort and you made it on the bus. Now, I'm not telling you to give up your house for another guy. We're not holding there. I'm not telling you to give up your job for another guy. But the idea of, I have, but my friend doesn't have. It's not, don't look at that as security. That's called Klal Yisrael. That's called Kol Adas Yisrael, Yasu Ois, and that's how we leave Mitzrayim. And that was the Inyan of the Makkos Chayshev.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.